going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Talking a Bunch of Hoopla. So, before I get into the whole NFL, AFC, NFC championship games, I want to do some kind of quick hits on UFC 246, and then now more information about this whole Astros / Red Sox cheating scandal. So let's just get right into it. All right, so UFC 246, main event, Conor McGregor versus Donald Cerrone in the welterweight division. Honestly, this card was good. The first three fights in the main card between Pettis and Ferreira, Kelleher and Osborne, and Olenek and Green, all submissions. Loved that. I think they're all were chokes, if I'm correct, which I thought was amazing. Anthony Pettis, though, got his shit fucked up. Yeah, he got beat up a little bit. Didn't look great, but hey, it happens. The Holly Holm fight went to decision. Holly Holm beat Raquel Pennington by decision. Congrats to her. It was all right. Holly Holm didn't look up to the Holly Holm standard that we're used to, but, you know, it's more of like a comeback tour for her to see if she can get that title back, which is very possible, but, you know, I think it's a start of something new. It feels so right to beat her, I guess. I don't know what I'm doing. And then obviously the main event, Conor McGregor, like I said, versus Donald Cerrone. Coming into this fight, a lot of people were unsure how McGregor was going to do. You know, he hasn't been fighting in 15 months after he lost to Khabib by submission. You know, he's doing his own thing. He's punching old people. He's breaking phones. He's, you know, doing more dumb shit and, you know, just doing whatever he can to kind of get his name out there and just being McGregor with his proper 12 alcohol and making a shit ton of money off doing that. And then into this, you know, a lot of people thought, you know, Cerrone, I guess, I don't want to say wasn't as deserving, but they thought he wasn't the best choice for this fight. Not that he's not going to put up a good fight. It was just people felt there was other people in line ahead of Cerrone that deserved this fight, like Justin Gaethje and so on. But Cerrone got the fight. I was excited. I'm a big Cerrone fan. That man is very much of a fighter's fighter, I guess. Because that man fights literally, I think, what, 3-4 times a year? I'm probably exaggerating, but he fights a lot every year. I mean, what? His record is 36-14. He's like the most wins in like UFC history. That man just fights nonstop. That man loves to fight. And that's why he does what he does, and that's why he's at where he's at. But the result of this fight did not go the way I thought. Because at least from me and my friends' conversations, a lot of it was, all right, you know, if this goes to the third round, Cerrone will kind of, you know, get the upper hand. He's better in later rounds. He'll be able to beat and maybe knock out Conor McGregor. But again, you have to get to those first two rounds first. Because also, we haven't seen McGregor fight in 15 months. We don't know where he's at mentally. We don't know how he is. He seems to be in a better place, but hey, you didn't know. And then chaos happened. Conor McGregor knocked out Donald Cerrone in the first 40 seconds of the first round. Hey, he's back. I mean, you can't deny that. You know, he beat the dog shit out of him fast. That elbow, the shoulder hit to the nose, breaking his nose. And then McGregor just capitalizing on that and just beating the dog shit out of Cerrone after that. Which isn't something you see very often. You know, Cerrone has taken his losses, but he hasn't taken an ass beating like this in a hot minute, especially this fast. So, and everyone's, you know, excited because McGregor's back in full form and all this. And Stephen A. Smith decided to say that with Joe Rogan, which I don't know why the fuck ESPN has Stephen A. Smith talk to anybody about MMA, because I'm saying this on record and I'm probably going to feel this way till the day I die. Stephen A. Smith does not know fucking anything about MMA. I'll give him football. I'll give him basketball. I'll fucking give him baseball. Maybe. Probably not. Me not even know anything about baseball. But that man doesn't know fucking diddly fucking dog shit about MMA. And he goes, oh, you know, we didn't learn anything new about Conor McGregor after this fight. Which, that's not true at all. But not my point here. So now the question is, who's McGregor going to fight next? You know, is McGregor going to fight Jorge Masvidal? Is he going to go for the title against Usman? You know, I don't know. But, I mean, honestly, I think the next fight should probably be, I don't know what I'm saying, probably be Usman. That just makes the most sense. You know, he's hot right now. I'm not saying that attractively. I'm just saying as a fighter. You know, he's got the upper hand. He's been fighting really well this last year. And, you know, I think it's that'd be, I mean, that's also like kind of, that's the money fight, you know, because we have Tyron Woodley and Leon Edwards fighting, I believe, in March, if I'm correct, like March 21st on a fight night. So he may fight one of those guys, depending on who wins that one. You know, or he may fight Masvidal. I mean, there's talk of him maybe doing the trilogy with Nate Diaz, which I've seen a lot of mixed reviews on that. I mean, yeah, I don't see him fighting Dos Anjos. I don't see. I mean, Covington would be interesting, but Covington's, no one gives a shit about Covington anymore after Usman beat him, so shut his ass up. So that momentum for him is done. But yeah, my guess is probably either the winner of the Woodley Edwards fight, Masvidal, or he fights, just go straight to Usman for the title. But I mean, I'm cool with any of that. I'm just interested to see how McGregor does at welterweight, because, you know, he's usually more of like a lightweight kind of boy, doing the damn thing there. But, you know, hey, he's doing it, and, you know, best of luck to him, I guess. So, but let me know, you know, if you're a UFC fan, you're an MMA fan, what were your thoughts on this whole Conor McGregor Cerrone fight? You know, were you disappointed it only lasted 40 seconds? Were you excited it only lasted 40 seconds, proving that he's back? You know, let me know your thoughts. So next, we're going to get into this whole Astro Red Sox fucking issue that's been going on for a while. All right. So to anybody who may not follow baseball at all, because you may find it boring or whatever, I'm going to do a quick rundown of exactly what the hell this whole Houston Astros, Boston Red Sox thing is going on. So this is what Wikipedia describes the scandal as. So it goes, the Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal, say that three times fast, refers to members of the Houston Astros baseball organization stealing signs of opposing teams using technology in violation of the MLB's rules in the 2017 and 2018 seasons, respectively. The story was originally reported by journalists Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drelch? I don't know what I'm saying. In The Athletic in November of 2019, Mike Fears, a pitcher who played for the Astros in 2017, told The Athletic that the Astros used a video camera in center field to steal opposing team signs. Their story led to a wide-ranging investigation by the Major League Baseball, the results of which released in 2020 of January. I don't know why I said it backwards, but we're just going to keep going. The investigation confirmed that the Astros illegally used a camera system to steal signs during the 2017 regular season and postseason, during which they won the World Series, as well as in part of the 2018 season. Major League Baseball found no evidence of illicit sign stealing in the 2019 season, in which the Astros advanced to the World Series. As a result, the Astros were fined $5 million and forfeited their first and second round picks in the 2020 and 2021 drafts. GM Jeff Lunt now and field manager AJ Hinch were suspended for the entire 2020 season for failing to prevent the rules violations. The Astros subsequently fired both Lunhow and Hinch on the day of their suspensions were announced. MLB's investigation also determined that the Boston Red Sox manager Alex Cora helped mastermind the Astros sign stealing while serving as Hinch's bench coach in 2017. Cora was subsequently dismissed by Boston the following day. Carlos Beltran, who had been hired to manage the New York Mets in November of 2019 and was the only player from the 2017 team who was specifically named in the report, was also dismissed by the Mets that same week. The sanctions were the most severe that the MLB has ever issued against a member club and are among the most severe sanctions for in-game misconduct in baseball history. And there's a lot of rumors flying around that are still kind of flying around about the Houston Astros using kind of electronic, technology on, like, the players that they taped to them. So it would, like, you know, it would tap them or kind of make a vibration, you know, on a certain pitch or, you know, what's coming to them so they know what's going on with that. There was a couple of players who were allegedly named in this kind of tweet spree from allegedly some, said Carlos Beltran's niece, which I thought was weird. But a lot of people saying that it's probably a player saying that, because I don't know why a player's niece would know anything about that. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's been documented for decades that sign stealing has been a huge issue for Major League Baseball. there's been players coming out even from like the 80s and 90s and past, and they've said that this is what they've been doing forever. So this isn't anything new to anybody, but still, like, if that is this much of an issue, then Major League Baseball needs to crack down, like, on this shit a fucking sap. Or just let every team do it and then just fucking here, hope for the best. I'm sure that's not going to happen, but because last thing you want is, like, yeah, you know what, sign stealing, everyone can fucking do it, who cares? I mean, that's giving everybody a fair advantage. If everyone can do it, then it's, like, you know, with that, but I don't know. I mean, a lot of people have been saying that, you know, that the Houston Astros should lose the World Series title for that year, and the Red Sox as well, because the Red Sox may have been involved or whatever, but at least people within the Red Sox organization, excuse me. But I mean, I don't think anything's really going to happen. I think we've seen probably most of the sanctions that's been coming out. Because I know they did an investigation within, like the technology or, like, whatever, like, the little kind of vibrating kind of little thing they put taped on the players, allegedly, saying that they found no proof of that exactly, but a lot of, like, fans are coming out saying that, like, you can see examples of players who may have been involved with something like that, because in one of the clips that people showed, it was Jose Altuve making it to home after a home run. And, you know, usually they rip his shirt off because he's a good-looking guy. He's got a nice body, whatever. Got some abs on him. But this time he's like, don't rip my shirt off. He's like, no. I'm like, no. And there's other times where people are pointing, like, kind of like bumps in, like, the shoulder-ish area where it's like you can see there's something there, allegedly. But, again, Major League Baseball said they didn't find anything. So, again, with that, like I said, I think the only thing that's really going to happen is maybe some players may get something, but I don't know. But here's some also continued accusations. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time talking today as I do usually. So the report and discipline did not stop additional accusations of sign stealing from being made. The release of the report sparked a new frenzy of speculation and rumors on the internet the week the report was released. A Twitter account of a person claiming to be Beltran's niece made accusations about non-Astros players around the league. Beltran's family said the account was fake, and some speculated that it was actually belonged to a player. Rumors also circulated that Astros players were wearing buzzing electronic devices. That's a better way to describe it than I did. During the 2019 playoffs, that would relay a stolen sign through vibrations. Altuve released a statement through his agent stating, "I have never worn an electronic device in my performance as a major league player." A few days later, in a media appearance, Altuve said some people made that up. "The best thing that happened to me was that MLB investigated and it found nothing." Reddick called internet speculation that he was wearing a buzzing device ridiculous, and Bregman called the buzzer rumors stupid. So you have that. So obviously they're going to deny it whether or not they actually did it. Because even if they did do it, for example, they're going to be like, yeah, we fucking did it. Like, yeah, okay, how you doing? I did it. Yeah, I buzzed it, and we won. How does that make you feel, dirtbag? Like, no, they're going to be like, yeah, no, I didn't fucking do it. Because why would we admit to that? No one's going to admit to cheating unless, like, you're backed in a corner of the MLB is like, yo, if you don't fess up to this, if you actually did it, you're banned for life. So either you say it or you don't. And they're, all right, cool, I'll say it. I did it. I'm sorry. Fucking leave me alone now. Are we good? We're good. But that's not going to happen. So nothing's going to change. Unless, like, maybe, like, a teammate on that exact team comes out and, like, yo, by the way, this is fucking true. Like, they did it. You know, they were cheating. They're using this buzzing technology. And it's real. They're lying. They don't know about it because they do. But until, again, that happens or never happens, most likely, this is just going to, like anything else, it's just going to go under the waistline. It's going to go, you know, under the rug. And then people every so often, like, yeah, they cheated, but who cares? Because Major League Baseball is not going to give them kind of a bigger, you know, sentence, quote unquote, then, you know, I don't think anything's really going to change. But with that, let me know your thoughts. You know, are you surprised by this information coming out about the whole Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal? You know, if you're a baseball fan, I'm sure this isn't the first time you've heard of someone doing this, but do you think that, you know, like, the discipline and the consequences should have been a lot tougher? You know, do you think they're going safe on them? Please let me know your thoughts. And now we're finally going to get into the AFC and NFC championship games and Super Bowl predictions. So after yesterday's performance, we now have the Kansas City Chiefs versus the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl, February 2nd. But before we get to that, let's review these AFC and NFC Championship games. Now, the Chiefs-Titans game. Wow, what a game. Didn't go the way I thought, especially because Derrick Henry had 19 carries for only 69 yards and a touchdown. King Henry got dethroned. That man got shut down hard. Because the previous two games, he had over 180 rushing yards and like 25, 30 carries for the game. He had 19 carries, and they were just like, nah, we're going to shut this shit the fuck down. But, I mean, Ryan Tannehill didn't play bad. He went 21 for 31, 209 yards passing for two touchdowns, no interceptions. So that's positive, but obviously if your main source of winning is are you running back to run for like 150 yards a game and that does not happen yet, you're going to get shut the fuck down. I mean, defensively, they started all right, but Patrick Mahomes at halftime is just different. I mean, yes, I know going into halftime, it was 21-17, but still, you know, you're still trying to handle Derrick Henry. You're like, all right, we got to make sure this guy stopped because then we can handle Ryan Tannehill. But also, the Titans offensive line was just getting blasted, like, all game. Like, it was bad. So, on the Chiefs' end of statistics, Patrick Mahomes, 23 for 35, 294 yards, three touchdowns. The running game kind of is similar to how it's been lately. Patrick Mahomes, 8 carries, 53 yards. Damian Williams, 17 carries, 45 yards and a touchdown. Sammy Watkins, though. Sammy Watkins had a fucking game. He had 7 receptions for 114 yards and a touchdown. So all you DraftKings, FanDuel, you know, users that or whatever other fantasy kind of drafting apps that you use for betting, hopefully y'all pick Sammy Watkins because man had a game. I mean, Tyreek Hill did too. I mean, he didn't have the best game yards-wise, but he still put up 2 touchdowns. So he had 5 receptions for 67 yards and 2 touchdowns. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, then the Chiefs defense just completely just dominated that game. You had, holy shit, I don't even know how to say this guy's name. Kapasagon had 2 sacks. Frank Clark had a sack. Let's see. You know, obviously no interceptions on that side, but I mean, Tyrann Mathieu was all over the field yesterday. That man, you can sense, at least in my opinion, Tyrann Mathieu was like, yo, I'm not avoiding a fucking Super Bowl again. I'm tired of not being in the playoffs and winning Super Bowl, so this is it. I'm changing it. We're making this fucking happen. And that man busted his ass, obviously, as did the rest of the team. I'm not saying it was a one-man effort, but you can tell, like many other players, he's been in this league for a long time, part of teams that weren't really the best, but finally got his chance to now play a Super Bowl and hopefully win. Now they have a very good chance. But, you know, we'll see. Anything is possible. I mean, I'm honestly, I wanted the Titans to win because I would have loved that story. You know, the Titans being the sixth seed in the playoffs. You know, no one thought they were going to beat New England. No one thought they were going to beat Baltimore. No one thought they were going to beat Kansas City. And then they go on to this, like, magical kind of run. You know, Derrick Henry at the front, just leading the charge. And then they win Super Bowl and live happily ever after. But sadly, that did not happen. So, you know, it looks like Patrick Mahomes is going to fulfill his destiny. Probably win his first Super Bowl, most likely. And, you know, start that conversation of, you know, the next great kind of dynasty. But that's, again, that's still a little far ahead. You know, they just won. And I'm, you know, I'm going getting a little ahead of myself here, but onto the Packers 49ers, though. Yo. I'm going to say that the 49ers beat the dog shit out of this team. They went into halftime 27-0. Yo. Wow. And then they scored again, making it 34-7. And then the Packers tried that, you know, scored 13 points in the fourth quarter, thinking they had a chance, and then no, and just got their shit shut down. I mean, Aaron Rodgers went 31 for 39, 326 yards, 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Just, I mean, hey, Devontae Adams, 9 receptions, 138 yards, no touchdowns, though, so that's not super great. It's not something you want to see. I mean, Fackler had a sack. You know, that's great. The only person to have a sack on defense. I mean, yeah, it just wasn't what the Packers wanted tonight. I mean, the 49ers defensive line, we all know, is elite. You know, they've been shutting people down all year. You know, they've had their mishaps. They've had their kind of, you know, their kind of one step forward, two step back kind of moments. But for the most part, they've been a top three defense pretty much all year. So I'm not really surprised at this. But also, I mean, yo, Raheem Mostert, running back for the Niners, 220 yards for four touchdowns, 29 carries.
Bruh, what the fuck?
That doesn't happen. See, this is the kind of game, my first thought was when I saw this is the kind of game that Tennessee wanted to have against the Kansas City Chiefs, where Derrick Henry just runs his lights out, runs his life into everybody else's life, taking their souls at the masses, and then winning the game. But that did not happen. 49ers defense and the running game had this game just over from the start. And everybody was bringing up the whole, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't, he only threw eight passes for 77 yards. But why, if you're running the ball that effectively, you know, and you have people like Mostert who have been playing well for a decent amount of the year, you know, running the ball extremely well, even against top defenses, why would you stop that? You know, why you're like, you know what, we've run the ball a lot. You know, it's time let's get some passes in there. No. If the pass works, throw the ball. And if the running game works, run the ball. You got to commit to it. And that's what they did. They committed. You know, there's always that talk I hear from analysts. It's always about, you know, certain teams don't know who they are. And then, you know, when it comes down to it, they just change their identity. Because they for whatever reason, they don't know who they are as a team. But it's like, sure, yeah, that does happen. But for the most part, if a team knows what they're good at and what they're not, they're obviously, and if it works in the game, they're going to fucking do it. They're not going to be like, you know what? We've been running the ball really well today. You know, our running back and backups have just been completely just dominating the game. You know what? Let's get the wide receivers going. You know, let's throw in some couple passes, you know, because it's not fair to them. You know, we pay them too. Let's give them a chance. No. You fucking block. You let the running back do his fucking job. And Mostert, that man's got a big-ass fucking chip on his shoulder, getting released from, like, six different teams, you know, on the practice squad, just no one giving him a shot, comes from San Francisco, and then he's like, you know what? It's time to ball out. It's time to get that fucking fat stack of cash. Time to get us a Super Bowl damn ring. But, you know, congrats to them being Green Bay. I'm sorry, all of Green Bay and Wisconsin. You know, hey, you had a great year. You played well. Aaron Rodgers seems to be a lot happier. You know, Matt LaFleur, first-year head coach, made it to the NFC Championship. Look at that. Look at us. Who would have thought? Not me. Definitely not me. I mean, as long as you have Aaron Rodgers at center, you know, sorry, under center, excuse me, you're a playoff contender regardless. But, hey, look at, you know, this makes Matt LaFleur look great. I mean, he had been coaching well all year. You know, obviously, like anything else, there's steps. There's things, there's mishaps, shit happens, but hey, you know, there is always a next season, but just not this season. You know, it is what it is. It just happens to the best of us, but now, on to the Super Bowl. So now we have the San Francisco 49ers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Before I go, though, I'm so happy Green Bay didn't win, only for the fact that I didn't want to see this kind of bullshit promotion for the game. For the Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl, because it's like, oh, it's the 100th year, and the first Super Bowl was the Green Bay and the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, my God. They have all these random old players just talking about how special it is in the 100th year that, like, this has happened and all this shit, and it's like having all these people, family, doing all this weird promotion. It's like, yo, this seems rigged as fuck. This just looks rigged. But thankfully, I mean, I hope it's not. That would suck if it is, but That narrative isn't there, and I'm cool with that. You know, we don't need that. Maybe, like, another year, like, another, that's cool, but not the 100th year. We don't, that's just too much for me personally, but I'm cool with San Francisco, KC. It's not the flashiest, you know, Super Bowl. It's not like you see, like, a team like a New York team or an LA team or New England, for example. You know, you have San Francisco, who hasn't done really much a lot lately, you know, shit the bed last year and previous years. KC on the up and up after getting Mahomes, even though he fell, even though the Bears could have drafted him and probably be in this position, but they're not because they're stupid and went Mitchell Trubisky. But that's the past, and that's what's done is done. But Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, dangerous combination. You know, hopefully we can get Andy Reid his first Super Bowl as a head coach. You know, he's made it there before in, like, what, 2004, 2003 or some shit like that. You know, with Donovan McNabb, T.O., Brian Dawkins, Westbrook, just that team, you know, did their best. But Andy Reid's time to redeem himself, see if he can pull the trigger. I mean, because you have Patrick Mahomes under center, you're guaranteed to look fucking great. And you have Tyreek Hill, like the fastest man in the NFL. And you have dudes like Hardman, Robinson, Williams, all guys who have crazy speed on them. And you have, obviously, Travis Kelce. Like, that combination is dangerous. Like, how San Francisco's going to have fucking work. They're not, I'm not saying they're going to get worked, but they're going to need a lot of work to handle this team. Because if the Chiefs can handle the running game like they did against Derrick Henry, this game is over. The Chiefs will win. Because I'm a Jimmy G supporter. GQ Jimmy is my guy. Been a big fan. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion. You know, they're not the greatest passing team. They're just not. It's okay, though. I mean, they're not the worst passing team, you know, statistically, but they're not top 10. Jimmy G's not out here slinging fucking 300 yards a game. You'll get like 175, maybe 200. But that's cool, but that's not going to win you a Super Bowl, though. But this is a passing league, and running doesn't do anything, apparently. But here we are. Running's been all over this year, so... All right, if I had to be honest, pick a team that I think is going to win, I would like to see Patrick Mahomes get his first, personally. You know, I would love to see, you know, the... Because the story's going to be, oh, is this the new dynasty? Are they going to be, you know, the next New England Patriots? Are they going to take over? And then we're going to see Patrick Mahomes just winning a bunch of Super Bowls. That would be interesting. Because I know the narrative for if San Fran wins Super Bowl, it's like, oh... You know, their offense, you know, Jimmy G didn't do anything, and it was all the running game and defense, and that was it, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey, man, still got to hand the ball off to somebody. Someone's got to hand the ball off to Mostert. Someone's got to do it. He's doing a great fucking job of it, if I say so myself. But I don't know. I just really want to see that defense of the 49ers against the Chiefs, because at least last game, I believe it was Eric Fisher, the left tackle, was getting beat a lot against the Titans. And it was a lot of... There was a good amount of time where Patrick Mahomes had a lot of time in the pocket, could have read a book, probably could have, you know, wrote a book, probably could have done a couple push-ups, probably just took a nap and then threw it. But also there was a decent amount of times, too, where that man was scrambling his ass off out of the pocket to make something happen. So if they can limit that, if that's probably the biggest task, is that O-line handling that D-line, because that D-line is some vicious. You know, Nick Bosa's really trying his ass off to get to that White House visit. Excuse me. He's doing his damn fucking best, because that man wants that shit probably more than the Super Bowl, to be honest. But hey, that's neither here nor there. Super Bowl is almost here, which means the NFL's season's almost over, which means I'm going to be sad. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. It happens every year. What are you going to do? But... Who do you have winning Super Bowl? Was it 50? I'm not even honestly sure which Super Bowl this is. Because you'd think it'd be Super Bowl 100 after, you know, what I think, believe it's Super Bowl 54, I believe. I know their whole AFC-NFC merger back in the day, but whatever. So it's Super Bowl 54 with Demi Lovato singing the national anthem. And then Jennifer Lopez and Shakira doing the halftime show, which, yo, kind of in for that. Kind of a fan of that. I know a lot of people turned down the whole halftime show because of the thing with Colin Kaepernick, the NFL, how he's being mistreated, and all that, which is fair, but, you know, I'm a piece of shit, so I'm going to still watch the NFL regardless, because, like I said, I'm a piece of shit. But, yeah, thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast today. I'm sorry I came a little late when you have a shitty computer. It just happens, but, hey, no fucking mistakes. No mistakes. I meant to say no excuses. Because there's definitely mistakes in this podcast. This is talking about hoopla. Mistakes gonna happen. We embrace the mistake. But yeah, I don't know. I forgot exactly what the fuck I was talking about. But yeah, like I said, thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you enjoyed it, I would appreciate it if you rated it. That would also be sick. I know you can rate it on Apple Podcasts, where you can listen to this, actually. It's funny, because you can actually listen to this also on Spotify, Google Play, Anchor, Stitcher, and all your fun third-party apps that you may use for podcast listening to. Share it with your friends. I'd appreciate it. You know, give me recommendations on things you want me to talk about. You know, if I'm wrong, please let me know. If I'm right, please let me know. If you want to talk to me, you want to yell at me, you want to give me a hug on the internet wise, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Some Internet Show. On Twitter, though, there is no O in the word show. It's just SHW. So just so you know for that. And that's all I have the time for today. You know, also, I would appreciate it, too. You know, if you're interested in watching the Aaron Hernandez documentary called Killer Inside the Mind of Aaron Hernandez. I did a kind of like 15-minute review of the documentary. I'll probably put like a link toward the bottom of this description, depending on where you're listening to. If you were interested in listening to that, because that whole documentary was a wild roller coaster of a ride, and I decided to try my best to make sense of it, because there's a lot of information being thrown at us. But yeah, so that's all I have. I said that like 8 times. I'm gonna stop doing that. All right, and I'll see you all next Monday.